tonight, September the 18th, we're studying stress, anxiety, and depression, and why Christians experience it and why they do not need to. Very difficult to communicate. I've received some communication people, and sometimes I scratch my head and how could I have communicated it more clearly? But throughout the study, what I have said is that God does not need to change your spouse, or your spouse doesn't need to change in order for you to be free of stress, anxiety, and depression. He does not need to change your parents. And what someone apparently misunderstood me to say is that they're okay, that it's all right what they're doing, and they don't have to change. People, that's not what I'm saying. They may be in sin, they may be totally wrong, but you can still enjoy the absence of stress and depression. God doesn't have to change them. It's just like my analogy in those same paragraphs I try to insert. God doesn't have to change every driver on the road for you to be free of stress and depression when you drive on 635. It's not that they're not driving. That it is not that their driving is correct, that it's okay. Their driving may be ferocious. What I'm trying to communicate is that he doesn't have to change it. If I'm talking to the person that's causing the stress and the anxiety and the depression, so to speak, then I would say, yeah, there are things you need to do with your life. But I'm not talking to them. I'm talking, this series is for those people who do experience stress, anxiety, and depression. And that's the point. So, because everyone is not going to change. Your husband is not going to change. Your wife is not going to change. Your parents, your children. And God, we all wish they would. But they're not going to, perhaps. Does that mean that you're doomed to a life of stress, anxiety, and depression? That's my whole point. No, you're not. But they do not have to for you to be free. And that's the kind of God we have. If you say that until my husband or wife changes, until my parents change, or until my circumstances change, that'll be an all-inclusive word, until my circumstances change, I am doomed to stress and depression. And that's your view of God. You're saying that God cannot give me inner peace, God cannot remove stress and depression from me until he changes the whole world. And that's incorrect. The kind of God that we have in the scriptures is a God that can give it to you, a life free of stress and depression, anxiety, apart from changing everyone else. And that's the point we're making. So let's begin our study tonight with a word of prayer. What's the purpose of the prayer? Very important prayer. Purpose of the prayer is to test yourself to see if you are trusting the Spirit to teach you and open your eyes to the things that we're studying in our passage. So with that in mind, let's pray. What a privilege it is, Heavenly Father, to take time out of our life and worship you by opening your scriptures, studying these things, allowing your Spirit to open our eyes and our ears to the things that you would have us to see and hear. We pray now, Heavenly Father, that your Spirit will cause us to see, and those that are listening to tapes that are hurting, that your Spirit will open and show how easy it is to be free of these things in our society. Father, we pray these things in Christ's name. Amen. Okay, let's begin by opening to 2 Corinthians chapter 10. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, which is where we are in the midst of studying right now, and in dealing with our passage, get a feel of how it's laid out in the passage. I've left these sheets so that we can work with them. So let me get it to you. what we're dealing with is a great number of things happen in people's lives and our society, and it's intensifying today after 9/11 and intensifying with all of the economic circumstances and broken homes and marriages, problems, the revelation, the revealing, the unveiling of a great number children abused, and this is, it is in the Catholic Church, but it is also in so many other areas and so many homes. Little boys, little girls raped by family members, by friends. We just keep compounding the things in our society that will bring about a life full of depression. And the world has a lot of answers for it, but what we want to see is what is God's answer for these things that do happen. And then if it isn't just my childhood, just things in life itself, a broken marriage, a troubled marriage, you can't control people, life isn't working out the way you want, so you become very depressed about things in life. So we want to see what God has in store. Now at this point, what we're looking at are, we've moved to the point of studying the strongholds, our fortresses, that reside inside of our soul. Now to just orient to the whole passage, let's read again. And then we'll go back into our word-by-word study of it. But in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, and we'll just start at verse 3, "For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh, for the weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh, but divinely powerful for the destruction of fortresses." These are fortresses in your mind. These are fortresses, strongholds inside of you. We are destroying speculations. Now, this is what those fortresses are made up of. Speculations, the Greek word here is the arguments. I'll show you this as we go through. These are the arguments that keep you stressed out. These are the arguments that keep you from being who you are in Christ. These are the arguments that keep you thinking that you're unworthy, that you're inadequate, that you do not deserve these things that God has for us. We are destroying speculations of every lofty thing raised up against the knowledge of God. And we are taking every thought, and we've dealt with thought so much, and we'll deal with it some more there, captive to the obedience of Christ. And we'll note the prepositional phrase, obedience of Christ, when we get there and find out what that means. All right, let's go back to where we are, because we're dealing with so many people want to say that stress and depression, anxiety, SAD, stress, anxiety, depression, is involuntary. And I hope that by now we have well laid a foundation for you that that is wrong, that it is not involuntary. We choose to be depressed. We choose to be stressed out. We choose. Thought precedes what happens. And so, as a man thinketh, so this is in our thought process. Now, one of the reasons that it seems to be involuntary is because of these fortresses that are inside of our soul that will surge up into our thought process. And that's why it seems, why would I want to be depressed? Well, I've already showed you how it's a way of getting back into control, but why would I want to be depressed and stressed and all of that? No, I don't. Yes, you do. Yes, we do. And what we're seeing now is that this seemingly involuntary thought process comes from these fortresses that are inside of our soul, and that's what we're looking at. Now, in verse 3, "For though we," now we here is the born-again believer, and as I told you right from the very beginning of this study, this is for believers in Jesus Christ only. I have nothing for the unbeliever in dealing with stress, anxiety, and depression, save the person of Jesus Christ. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. But for the believer in Jesus Christ, that's who we're studying here, "for though we believers walk in," the preposition is in, "the flesh, we do not war," and I remind you, this is the first time he's used the word war in the whole of 2 Corinthians, and he's already in chapter 10 here. "We do not war according to," change of preposition. We walk in the flesh, but we do not war, kata, according to the flesh. So if you want to put it where we can make sense out of it in a dramatic way, I've done this. In flesh, in this flesh body of ours, we believers walk. Not according to, there's that preposition contrast again, not according to flesh. Now, this time, We have two different concepts for the word flesh. Same word, different concepts. The first time we walk in flesh means we walk in this mortal body. We walk in this skin and bone that we are. We are limited by it with all its limitations and these types of things. So it's got to, when we die, this body just stays, this flesh that's talked about, just stays here, goes to the dust. It's amazing to me how Christians worship this physical body from the womb, in the womb, and in the grave, but really don't do what's supposed to be done in between. And when we die, this is just, it becomes dust, and we will be resurrected from that place, but not this body. Now, the flesh this time, however, according to the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh, we war. This means the flesh nature. This means according to the wisdom of the flesh, the strength of the flesh, thinking of the flesh, and I'll come to all of these things, trying to work it all out. Let me remind you, the world, the secular world that a lot of Christians go to, have a lot of solutions for stress, anxiety, and depression, everywhere from drugs to yoga. They have all kinds of things, activity in the gym, music, aromas, all which I enjoy, but not in the sense of that the world is using these things to do what we want to see, what God has set up for us. But I do want you to realize the world has a lot of answers, and you can go to the world. And we'll talk more about that also. Or we can do it God's way. Okay. Not according to the flesh, thinking of the flesh, we the believer war. Walk is our daily life, and in our daily life, we war. So, and now we move to verse 4. Verse 4, for the weapons of our warfare, because we're in this war, a spiritual war, an invisible war, but nevertheless a real war. It is invisible, it is spiritual, it is real. It affects your marriage, it affects your single life, it affects your health, it affects every area of your being. You are, if you are in Christ, you are in a spiritual warfare. And that's what Paul is talking about when he all of a sudden throws in the word war here. So we are in a war. Now, in this war, the weapons of our warfare, because if you're in a war, you've got to have a weapon. Whether you go all the way back to the days of David and it's a slingshot with stones, whether it's a sword, a gun, whatever it is, you have a weapon. For the weapons of our warfare, our spiritual warfare, are not of the flesh, not of the thinking of the flesh, human strength, human wisdom, but, continuing verse 4, divinely powerful, and look what it says, for the destruction of fortresses. Paul just throws this thing out at us now, for the destruction of these fortresses. He hasn't been talking about them. He just all of a sudden throws them out at us, and we're beginning to find out how important they are. We're in the midst of studying what these fortresses are and how to destroy them. They're in the soul, they're in our mind, and they bring about stress, anxiety, and depression. And we're looking at the phrase, for the destruction. And what we saw last week, and let me just get there so we can move on. Last week now, for the destruction of the forces. Okay, the Greek word is kos aresis. This is the word in the Greek, in the text, to cast down, to take away, the destruction of forces, out of some lexicons, Greek dictionaries. Very interestingly is the English word that is derived from the Greek word, and I don't normally spend a great deal of time doing this type of thing. We saw a couple of already in Revelation 1:1 and 1:2, but every now and then it is fun to look at the English word that is derived from a Greek word. The English word derived from the Greek word here is the English word katharsis. And katharsis, in your Webster's Dictionary, the 10th edition that I have, purification, that which brings about, and remember, this is Webster's Dictionary, not the Bible, spiritual renewal. That's a word in Webster's Dictionary. And if we're going to communicate, we've got to agree on definition of words. purification that brings about spiritual renewal or release from tension. I study of stress, anxiety, and depression. It blew me away when I did this. And I do know it's a spirit, but because I don't normally do this. I don't normally go to my English dictionary when I'm studying Greek because there's so many words. If you've seen my Big Fat Greek Wedding, you know now that every word in the world comes from the Greek in that movie. It's a great movie in that sense. And the father just says that every word, no matter what word you give him in English, he can tell you how it came from the Greek. I'm not quite sure that's true, but a multitude of them do. Catharsis is one that does. Purification, that which brings about a spiritual renewal or release from tension or stress, anxiety, depression. If we break down these fortresses, it brings a release from that tension, because these fortresses are the source in our soul of the stress, anxiety, and depression. Webster continues, elimination of a complex. That's our word, stronghold or fortress. The elimination of a complex. And note, he gives us how, in the human sense, by bringing it to consciousness and affording it expression. And what we saw here is what he's saying is, and this is what a part of what we're going to see, is people, we've got to take these lofty speculations that are done in our soul, and we want to put some light on them. How are we going to do that? Because we have the inner working of the Holy Spirit, and he's going to bring to light these thoughts that are contrary to what God has you to think, what God would have us to think, to know who and what we are. So what we're going to do, to elaborate on this, I don't think we'll be come back here, I've got to move on, but by bringing it to consciousness and affording it expression, what's going to happen is these fortresses, people, are thought patterns that keep you from who you are in Christ. These strongholds are built on Satan's lies. They're built off of Satan's lie. I will show you that. In verse 4, if you look down very quickly, in verse 4, verse 5, speculations or arguments and every lost thing. Those two things compiled make up Satan's lie. Satan's lie builds these fortresses in your soul. And remember what Satan's lie is in simplicity. Satan's lie is that my self-worth is made up of my performance plus others' opinion of me, which rides all the way through the Bible, from the garden to the law, all the way through. And that's why many preachers keep Christians enslaved, because they actually preach Satan's lie as truth. Because you can find it in the Bible. But it's not what God wants us to be. To where God wants us to be. So these are the fortresses that we are going to tear down. Verse 4 then, having this in mind now, for the weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh, not of human strength and wisdom, but divinely powerful for the destruction. Now, what is the power? That word divinely powerful. What is that divine power that is going to tear down these fortresses? What is that divine power that is going to destroy the fortress or the shield, the protection of the seven-headed dragon that's inside of us? Remember, we all have the seven-headed dragon inside of us, made up of fear, anger, hate, jealousy, bitterness, these type of things that we studied, that go down into these fortresses and actually form these fortresses in our soul. And last week we closed by noting the first one out of Galatians chapter 3, verse 5, where it clearly teaches us that God has supplied us with the Holy Spirit. So inside of you, let's take a look now at what's going on. This is what's going on in the invisible part of you. In the invisible part of your soul, the invisible part of your mind, in what you are, there are these strongholds that are there. But God has also, Galatians chapter 5 is what we looked at, we could have gone to other places, but God has supplied you with the Holy Spirit, so that every believer has the third member of the Godhead indwelling you. You have the Holy Spirit in you, inside of you. There is a great deal of false teaching about the Holy Spirit. There's a great deal of wrongful teaching about the Holy Spirit. And when you get wrong teaching or false teaching, incorrect teaching about the Holy Spirit, causes these believers never to catch on, never to be relieved of stress of these strongholds, able to destroy them. And a lot of people stay away from the Holy Spirit, don't do much teaching on Him. Some do some very technical teaching. Some do some very personal application, charismatic type of thing, and they've got it wrong. It's just amazing, all the false teaching on the third member of the Godhead, but wait a minute. Is it really amazing? No. It's not amazing that there's a lot of wrongful teaching about the third member or the second member of the Godhead, Jesus Christ. He is the way to God. He is salvation. It's going to be, Satan's going to do everything he can to confuse the unbeliever about Jesus Christ. Everything that he can possibly do. So there is a great deal in churches, denominations, as well as outside, wrongful teaching about Jesus Christ. And so there's going to be a great deal more as far as the Christian is concerned in dealing with the Holy Spirit. So in Galatians 5:3, God supplies us with the Holy Spirit. We saw it last week, so we won't turn there tonight. The Holy Spirit is in you, but now we've got a question. We've got a question. Okay, the Holy Spirit is in you. God has given you the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit is inside of you. Now we have a question. The question is, how? How do I access the Holy Spirit? How do I tap into His various, all the things that the Bible lists, a great number of things that the Holy Spirit does to give us some ideas. We are to be led by the Spirit. We're to follow the Spirit. His Spirit is the teacher. The Spirit gives wisdom. The Spirit empowers. The Spirit guides. The Spirit does all of these things. Well, that's all fine and good. How? How do I tap into this? Using a kind of a funny example, first time before you know very much, you sit in a car and you're sitting in this beautiful automobile or a powerful automobile and you're sitting there. Okay, you've got all this power. How do I drive it? How do I start it? How do I get it going? And so we've got the Holy Spirit inside of us. The question is, how do I tap into the Holy Spirit so He can do these things? The same thing is true of Jesus Christ. God gave the world Jesus Christ. How do I access what Jesus Christ was given for? So God has given the whole world. God gave to the world. He gave to the world Jesus Christ. Question, how do I receive what Jesus Christ came to do? And we have seen that it is simply by faith only, and by faith alone. That's all that is necessary. No changing of life. You don't invite Him into your heart. You don't make Him Lord. Those are all man doing something. All that we have to do is to trust Him. Trust Him. Now, conversely, Jesus, God has given to the church, to the body of Christ, that means to you, the Holy Spirit. Same question. How? How do I tap into the Holy Spirit? And the answer is exactly the same. By faith only and by faith alone, in the Holy Spirit and the one that God has sent to do the things that He was sent to do for you. Okay, so one, you are a believer in Jesus Christ. You have eternal life. You cannot lose that. I don't care how bad you are. I don't care how horrible your life is. I don't care what happens in your life. I don't care who does what to you. I don't care what you do to yourself. You cannot undo what the sovereign God has done at the cross. If at any point you have believed in Jesus Christ, you are saved. Don't ever let anyone take that away from you. And you can be stressful, anxiety, and depression about your life. But I want you to know one thing, people, here and on tape. Nobody can ever take away. And you cannot take away. No matter, you may say, I have really messed up my whole life. Nobody's done all the things that I've done. First of all, they have. But even more important than that, you cannot undo what God has done. You are His child. You are in Christ. Just like no matter how horrible you may think you are, your parents cannot deny you. They may even want to. They may want you to change your name, or they may go change their name. They don't want any association with you whatsoever. But we all know they cannot deny that you are of them. So when you have believed in Christ, you are in Christ. And God can never deny that. He cannot deny his own work. And so just be rest assured of that. Now, point two, you have the Holy Spirit also inside of you. I know you may not feel like it. That's why I'm doing this study on stress and depression. I know you may not feel like it. You may look at your life and it doesn't look much like it. I says, God inside of me. It's just everything is rotten, but he is inside of you. He is inside of you. Now, what we want to do in the third part of all of this, how do I get into the relationship with the Spirit so that he can remove? Because many believers with the Holy Spirit in them still have a great battle with stress, anxiety, and depression. How do I get rid of stress, anxiety, and depression with the Holy Spirit in me? You desire a life free of stress, anxiety, and depression. And people, as we've seen over and over, we're going to learn to live, first of all, to believe who you are in Christ, and then to live who you are in Christ. And so Christ lived in the flesh just as you and I do, but he walked by faith in the Holy Spirit. So we spent some time on that. Now, where I would have liked to have finished last week before we had to close is this next thing. But what about the Bible? What about the Word of God? Okay, we've got the Holy Spirit. That's the first part of how we're going to bring down these fortresses. But a good question would be, what about the Word of God? I want to talk about that a moment. Most of you that will be listening to these tapes that suffer experience, stress, anxiety, and depression, probably know something about the Bible and how important it is. I want to talk to you about that a moment. Many Christians who experience stress, anxiety, and depression have a lot of knowledge of the Bible. A lot of knowledge of the Bible. Bible doctrine, if you please. Many pastors, deacons, teachers, friends will actually, please listen to me, and listen carefully, they will keep you enslaved to Satan's lie, to the law, not setting you free, and they will use the Bible to do it. You want some examples? I'll give you some examples. Job's three friends, this is the first book of the Bible, first book written, before you and I would have an understanding of all these things in the Bible, they had unbelievable knowledge about God. And they came to Job with all of their knowledge, and they crushed Job's soul with their knowledge. Wrong knowledge, wrong understanding, but they used what they had an understanding of. We're seeing Sunday morning in the Gospel of John, chapter 8, that the Judaizers, the religious Jews, people, they knew all about the Abrahamic covenant, the Mosaic covenant. They knew about demons. They knew so much. And they didn't know anything. There are people who spend their life studying the Scriptures and they do not understand the Scriptures. And people will use the Bible. They will actually use the Bible to teach and to mandate a performance system. God wants you to perform for Him. You have to do for God. You have to join our church. You have to be very moral. You have to commit. You have to do this. You have to do that. And just all the things you have to do for God. And then if you will do those things, then God will do for you. And this is where most preachers end up in the final analysis of their sermon every Sunday. You do your part and God will do His. God is waiting for those that will do things for Him. And then He will do for you. And that is Satan's lie. I'm here to tell you, and that's what keeps you stressed out. They teach do and do. You've got to repent for God to work in your life. You've got to confess. You've got to feel sorry. You've got to do this. You've got to do that. You've got to be set aside. And on and on and on. You may be so bad God can't even use you. And there's so many things. And people, it's not the God of the Bible. It's a lie. It's Satan's lie from the garden where Adam and Eve thought they had to run. Oh, we've got to run to the fig tree and we've got to cover up our bodies before God will have something to do with it. And they were wrong. And then we have the whole process of the law. Oh, we've got to do all this law before God will let us in the land. Wrong. All you have to do is trust me and I'll give you the land. Who knew that? The dog. The dog knew that. Caleb knew that. Joshua and Caleb entered the land, and Caleb, which means dog, Caleb said, hey, I want that mountain right over there where the biggest giants are. And he's an old man by now. He is old. And tell you the greatest life, you want to make you feel great, and no matter your age, have the attitude that Caleb had. He's an old man. He said, give me that mountain right there with those big giants. You know why? God's already told me he'd defeat them. So what I'm trying to show you is, I can look in this book and I can keep you enslaved to the law and to Satan's lie and use Bible doctrine to do it. Or I can look in this book and I can use Bible doctrine to set you free. So, yes, Bible doctrine is what the Holy Spirit uses, but in truth. You've got to know. We've got to know what is the truth. What when people say the Bible and Bible doctrine, what are they talking about? People can use the Bible to convince you that you are unworthy to be loved by God, to teach you that you deserve to be punished by God. I know preachers who use the Bible to tell Christians that they're just a bunch of losers. That's in the pulpit. And others do it, maybe not so boldly, but do the same thing in other ways. So if we're going to talk about the Holy Spirit, we've got to talk about how to accurately access His power. How do we tap into the work of the Holy Spirit? Just like, how do I tap into the person and work of Jesus Christ on the cross? How do I truly tap into the work of the Holy Spirit to allow Him to work inside of me to bring down these fortresses? If we're going to talk about the Bible doctrine, we've got to know what the truth of the Bible doctrine is, people. You can't just say Bible doctrine. Oh, people, if you're looking for a church, by all means, you want a pastor who believes that this Bible is the divinely inspired, inerrant, infallible, that it is given by God, that it is God-breathed, and all those wonderful things, but that doesn't mean he's going to see the truth. That doesn't mean he's going to see the truth. I would take him, I'm not taking, but I mean, I would lean toward that over somebody who says, no, it isn't. But just because the pastor does say that, and boy, gets up and just pounds that book, this is the violence of the infallible, inerrant word of God, and it says that you better be good. You're going, see what they've done? They've taken and given right away. Yeah, it's inspired word of infallible God, word from God, but it doesn't say that you've got to work or you're going to go to hell. So just because I believe that about the Bible, and just because I talk about whose Bible doctrine, a lot of preachers, when they say Bible doctrine, they mean theirs. Bible doctrine according to me. Gotta be careful, people. You're not enslaved to any man. How do you understand what's going on in the truth? What is the truth that the Holy Spirit can use? And I'm here to tell you it's very simple. That truth is, trust me, I'm God. I, God, will break down the fortresses in your soul. I, God, will relieve you of stress, anxiety, and depression if you'll just trust me. I can do that for you. Without changing anybody or anything, I can change you. But we've got to believe and trust Him. So trust me, and I will do it for you. Trust me, who I made you. People, you want to know what the Bible doctrine is? I'll tell you what it is in simplicity, without giving you 50 points, and without you sneaking up on you. You want to know what doctrine that the Holy Spirit is going to use to start breaking down the fortresses in your soul? The truth of who you are in Jesus Christ. It's going to keep you focused on who you are in Christ. Not who your parents say you are. Not who the world says you are. Not who your finances say you are. Not who your looks say you are. Not who your husband or your wife says you are. Not even who some fat-headed preacher says you are. But who does God say you are in Christ? And when we let the Holy Spirit start showing that, He starts lighting up. You see what a lie, Satan's lie is? And it starts illuminating. Starts turning on the light. And your eyes go, I'm not that. I'm not that person. Yeah, that happened to me when I was a little girl. That happened to me when I was a little boy. That happened to me. My husband, I let my parents do this. I let my husband, a wife, and on and on and on. That's not who I am. That's who I am. I'm who I am in Jesus Christ. That's who I really am. And you won't let anyone take that away from you. And you'll start hanging around people who will see and take you as to who you are in Christ. Not a lot of Christians who judge you according to the flesh, as they did in Gospel of John chapter 8. So just as you did at the cross, you trusted him to save you, so now we trust the Spirit to do what he was sent to do. So yes, it is the Holy Spirit plus Bible doctrine, but it is the doctrine that the Spirit will use to reveal who you are in Christ. So, not according to human strength, human thoughts. We're going to break this down. Our weapons are not of the human realm. People, I know Christians that they pay a lot of money to psychiatrists, psychologists, drugs, exercise gyms, and on and on and on, and they work hard, and they're going to work hard to get rid of their drinking. People, you don't have a problem with drinking. If I could just show this, your problem is in your thought process. That's the problem. And that's where the Holy Spirit can work. But Christians will spend their whole life trying to battle their thoughts about sex, their thoughts about stealing, their thoughts about this, or their thoughts about that, and our inadequacy, and on and on and on. And the world has some wonderful things for us to do. To do and do and do, and you'll spend your whole life working. All the time knowing, like Paul said, oh, wretched man that I am, if I'm honest. And what God says, okay, now, I'm not even going to make you a better person. People, please remember that. God is not making you a better person. He is not going to do that. God does not make you a better person. That flesh self, he just crucified. And he raised you up in Christ, a new creation. That's who you are. And the more that we learn to walk who we are in Christ, as we slowly start, it doesn't happen overnight. This whole thing of lordship salvation is so evil. Well, I must not be saved because I still have this sin or that. It doesn't happen overnight. It's very slow. But as the more you start seeing and believing who you are in Christ and walking who you are in Christ, you're going to find stress, anxiety, and depression leave your life. And the circumstances never change, maybe. Maybe they do, maybe they don't. I'm just saying they don't have to. Your circumstances never change, but you start learning to walk who you are in Christ. And boy, the stress and depression just start going away. And you go, wow, I'm doing nothing to cause this to happen. That's right. God, these divine powers inside of you are the things that are doing it. So not according to human strength. Our weapons are not human strength and working hard and self-discipline and learning and all of these things that man puts up you got to be real strong. Pull yourself up. Straighten yourself out. All this kind of stuff that comes from the world and sounds so good, especially to us Americans. That's not what we're going to use. We're going to use unbelievable humility and just trust him. So, these are the strongholds used by Satan, by the flesh, and by the world to produce stress, anxiety, and depression in your soul. Our weapons are faith. Our weapons are faith in the Holy Spirit and allowing the Spirit to use the truth of Scripture and start tearing down these fortresses. And that's what we're going to be seeing as we continue in our study. So, faith in the Spirit gives you the working power inside you to start tearing down these fortresses and prevent stress, anxiety, and depression in the soul. So again, stay with me now. You're in a war. Okay? All of you that were in boot camp, slowly you start. You're in, first of all, cut off all your hair and take all your clothes and they give you new clothes, and then you start learning this and it gets you into shape, and then they start giving you a weapon, first of all, with nothing in it. And all these type of things, it's a weapon. And then pretty soon, in basic training, this is more important to you than your girlfriend, sister, if it's all guys in there, and as well as an arbitrator. And this is more important. You got to learn to sleep with this weapon, and you got to take it apart, put it together in the dark, blindfold it, all this type of thing. It's a weapon. I'm going to tell you something, they're right. In combat, that weapon is the most important you got. So we want to know, what is our weapon for tearing down these fortresses that reside inside of our soul, and so that you don't miss it. The weapons of simple faith in the divine power given to you, that's the Holy Spirit, to tear down the fortresses in your soul. It can't be that simple. Yes, it is. Not by power nor by might, but by my Spirit, says the Lord of hosts. Here's how to remove these fortresses. Here's how to remove stress, anxiety, and depression. Oh, yeah, you sound good, but boy, if you just live with the man I live with, if you just live with the woman I live with, or if you've gone through all that I've gone through, if you were raped when you were a little child over and over, if you lived in poverty, if you did this, you'd know better. People, I'm telling you, this is the answer. I don't care what the circumstances are. Now, if you want to use all of that as an excuse on why you should be distressed and depressed, then that's fine. That's your choice. Because depression is a choice. Stress is a choice. This is God's solution. He's given it to you. That's why I look at Galatians 5 with you. He gave you the Holy Spirit. He gave us the Bible. He gave you faith. You have it all. It's just up to you whether you trust Him. It's that simple. It is that simple. The things that are foolishness to the world. Even some Christians, like the friends of Job, will tell you this is not enough. No, no, no. That's all nice, but boy, you're going to have to go to the doctor, and you're going to have drugs, and you're going to have to do yoga, and you're going to have to go to the gym, and you're going to have to get away from that man. You're going to have to change your circumstances. You're going to have to change your job. You're going to have to move to another place. You're going to have to do this. You're going to have to do that. And they just keep going on and on and on. But what you got to do, faith alone isn't enough. Just like they tell unbelievers, just faith in Christ isn't enough. But you know better, those of you that are saved tonight. You know better. All I did was trust Him, and I was saved. I'm telling you, by that same simplicity of faith, we can start tearing down the fortresses in the soul. So you have to decide tonight how and what you see going on in the Bible. It's your stress. It's your depression. It's your anxiety. It's your sad life. You have to decide. I'm showing you from the Spirit of showing me what's going on in the Scriptures, how we can get rid of them. Now, let's take a look at the fortresses. Time for the fortresses. The strongholds that we've been talking about. The Greek, oroma, wouldn't give any value to put it on a board. If it did, I'd give it to you. The Greek word means to fortify. It means a holding, a stronghold. Now, we could spend a lot of time, and I thought about doing it, but I'm talking to people who hurt. I'm not talking to people who just want a nice theological study. But a stronghold can be a cave in the Old Testament, where David went to. A stronghold can be a fort on top of the highest area, the land area up on a peak, so that you can look all around you, and you build your wall around you, and you've got a fortress. And the fortress is designed so that nothing can penetrate inside and destroy it. So we have this. We all have an ideal of what a fortress is in its simplicity of understanding. Now, let's take it in our study. What is the stronghold of the fortress in our study? Let me give it to you. I don't know if you can read that or not. I thought Kinko's would be able to make it a little bit larger. A stronghold. As per our study, I've tried to simplify this as best I could. First of all, a stronghold is an immaterial structure. It's not material. It's not made out of the muscle of our brain, but it's in there. It's an immaterial structure built, and it is built, a fortress is built, in the mind of the soul. So it's inside of you. And how is it built in the mind of the soul? Through persuasive arguments by Satan's lie. It slowly is built. It starts in our childhood often. It starts when things aren't going right and things go wrong. That your self-worth is your performance. And so I can take that very thing and I start laying the foundation for a stronghold. That your self-worth is your performance starts the building of a stronghold. So that's a persuasive argument of Satan's lies. And it starts building this fortress. It's your self-worth. It's others' opinion of you. Certain others' opinion of you. And we all start out at our Father, and they can crush it. They can start building these fortresses right at a very young child of the fortress in our soul that we're unworthy. We're not adequate. I can't run well enough. I can't play well enough. I can't make good enough grades. I'm not pretty enough. I'm not good enough. I'm not this enough. So we start building the structure in our mind or soul through persuasive arguments. And don't go be writing down here. Listen. I see what y'all are doing. Y'all ain't hearing what I'm saying. This, I should have covered this up. This is number one. Now, while they built, in order to divert the mind from being who you are in Christ. Because Satan has this lie. That's why he builds these, has a way of building a network, of building these things up inside of you people, because he does not want you to know who you are in Christ. He does not want you to believe who you are in Christ. Because as long as he can keep you in the flesh, he's got you. Let's pick on the husband. As long as I can work with my wife on the concept of Satan's lie, that your self-worth is your performance plus my opinion of you, a man controls that woman. A parent controls a child. A woman controls a man. A preacher controls a congregation. Because all I have to do is one moment praise you, just raise you up and you feel so great, and in the same 30 minutes, slam dunk you right down to the ground. You're no good. You're inadequate. And I have you crying. And while you're crawling down and crying, see there, you better listen to me and just pay attention, because I control you. And indeed, people, whoever you give that position to, that you, your self-worth is their opinion of you, they now control you. They now control you. And once you're free of that, people, I'm not setting you free of romantic love. Far from it. In fact, when we learn these things, it will allow romantic love between a man and a woman to be more powerful than ever before. Because you won't be looking for your self-worth from that person. You will be expressing your self-worth to that person with each other and enjoying each other. This will make a powerful relationship, a powerful family, powerful church. So, this is the first thing. So it is an immaterial structure built in the soul, and has it built the persuasive arguments of Satan's lie in order to keep you, to divert you from being who you are in Christ in your thought process. Secondly, the second thing, these fortresses are strongholds in your mind, in your thought patterns. Now, that comes from the next verse where it talks about, in the next verse, speculation and lofty thing. I'll come to what that means, but let me just tell you right now, those are arguments, thought processes. It's the way people think. These fortresses are strongholds in your mind, in your thought pattern, that actually govern how you think. Now, what's important here? Stay with me. What's important on how you think? Because, what did we see? Thought precedes stress, anxiety, and depression. First of all, I have to have a thought that is going to bring about stress and depression in my life. Whatsoever man thinketh, so he is. So where's my... And it seems like it's involuntary. I know that. I know why people argue with me, because it seems like it's involuntary. Why? Because in your soul are these fortresses. In your mind. Patterns that actually govern how you think, and they come up from within you. People, don't be angry that I said it's in your soul thought process. Rejoice, because that means you can do something about it now in Christ. If it was outside of us, there's nothing we could do. But since it's inside of us, there's something we can do. We can trust Him. See? So, these strongholds, one, two, these strongholds are, or these fortresses are strongholds in your mind, in your thought patterns, that actually govern how you think, how you deal with things that happen in your life. You interpret things. You fail. Well, I deserve to fail. You didn't get this. Well, I didn't deserve it. Well, they don't care about me. Well, I don't deserve it. I'm not pretty enough. I'm not smart enough. I'm not good enough. They're better. This is that. And on and on and on. These are thought patterns that start. These are built in your soul. These are fortresses. That from them comes the stress, anxiety, and depression. And these thought patterns determine how you deal with things that happen in your life. Again, this is why stress, anxiety, and depression seem involuntary. But it's not involuntary. It's a thought process. And we just shoot up from these fortresses. And they're fortresses, and I'll show you why, point three or four, what's going on. Strongholds that must be torn down are the fortresses that protect and defend your flesh nature. Please remember that. You can just picture a fort in your mind. Walls of about maybe 36 inches thick. Stone. Big fortress. That's what these fortresses are in your soul. And they're built there to protect and defend your flesh nature. Remember the big five things we studied about every one of us. Our flesh nature. What is our flesh nature? First of all, our flesh nature is continually being corrupted. People, if you're continually being corrupted and you sense that in yourself, you've got to defend yourself of that. That's what the fortresses are designed to do. Your flesh nature knows that it's continually being corrupted. Remember in Ephesians, we studied that. Then secondly, we saw in Jeremiah, what did we see about our flesh nature? That it is deceitful above all else. That's what these fortresses are designed to do, to protect that deceitful nature. And then we saw that it is incurably wounded, incurably sick. No hope. So it's going to build a fortress to try to stop the inevitable. And then we saw that it is full of evil. All of these we saw in the Bible. It is full, inside of your flesh nature, is full of evil. And this little fortress that you build inside you is designed to protect. And then the last one, the one that I love the best, insane. And what does that mean? Insane as to who you are in Christ. And who you are in Christ is who you really are. Flesh nature is insane to that. So the strongholds, point three, the strongholds that must be torn down are the fortresses that protect and defend your flesh nature. From these fortresses come the oppression in your life. Because it's from the flesh nature. And the flesh nature has built all of this up and built this wall. It's these fortresses. This whole thought processes that I'm going to go through. The whole ideologies and thinking. And a lot of it has to do with a lot of America thinking. People, I love America. But it's going to sound like I don't when we get to these lofty speculations. But we just have to stay spiritual and understand the war that you and I are in. Let's get number four tonight. And that'll be, give these four things, make up what these fortresses are. Point four, but let's see where we've been. First of all, these fortresses that must be torn down in our soul. A stronghold here is an immaterial, or a fortress, is the word fortress, is an immaterial structure built in the soul that through persuasive arguments by Satan's lies. In order, and remember, that's the law, Mosaic law, and a lot of places in the Bible. I'll show you how that's done under lofty speculations. In order to divert the mind from being who you are in Christ. Two, these fortresses are strongholds in your mind, in your thought patterns, that actually govern how you think and how you deal with the things that happen in your life. And again, this is why stress, anxiety, and depression seem to be involuntary, because they just charge out of this. It's an impregnable fortress inside of us. And people, you cannot tear this fortress down with the flesh. You can change the way it's going to come across a little bit. You can't tear it down in the flesh. God has given us divine power, the Holy Spirit, to do it. Okay, three, strongholds that must be torn down are fortresses that protect and defend your flesh nature. The five things that we studied about it. From these fortresses comes oppression in your life. Finally, four, strongholds are those fortresses inside your mind. You'll notice I keep repeating that because I don't want you to forget where these are. I don't want you to go after these with things of the flesh. I don't want you going after these with yoga and a bunch of other human stuff. I want you to remember where they are, and that's where God can get. So four, strongholds are these fortresses inside your mind where the power of Satan hides. He hides inside the fortress and is protected behind the fortress and seeks to control you. Keep you, that is, to keep you thinking that you are unworthy, inadequate, a loser, wasted life. And you deserve God not giving you any real blessings. You deserve to be punished. You deserve the bad things that happen. But these strongholds are doing. So I hope you begin to realize, pardon me, but damn, these are powerful things inside of me. And they're there to keep you in stress and depression. And that's why so many Americans, Christians, and not just America, all the world, but so many Christians in America experience degrees and levels of stress and depression. These fortresses are inside. People, it doesn't come from without. It's not your husband, your wife, your circumstances, your being raped, your being abused, and all the rest of it that causes your life to be depressed. You choose to be. Why would I choose to be? Because you built these fortresses inside of you from Satan's lie that your worth is dealing with your performance and others' opinion of you. And from that, I can control you. From that, I can keep you down. All I have to do as a preacher is to get you to believe that your self-worth is your performance for God and others' opinion of you. And I've got you because God's performance is perfection. Be perfect because I'm perfect and I can't do that. And that's where Paul comes to the realization as a believer. Oh, wretched, wretched, pitiful, stinking, rotten, dirty, and that I am. Who will set me free? And that's what we got to look at now. How we're going to be set free of these fortresses that keep us thinking that way in our mind. And get rid of that. And people, as we slowly allow the Spirit of the living God to tear down these fortresses inside of us, the light starts turning on to who we really are. I want to go to a little end here with a little children's nursery rhyme, little children's story. Absolutely gorgeous woman, but a maid in a house, Cinderella. And the stepmother and the sisters, stepsisters, you're not God, you can't do anything. And that's how they kept her. What was she really? She was a very beautiful woman. And that's what we want to do. We want to turn on a light. But you're not who you are in the flesh. You are who you are in Christ. You are that beautiful princess. You are that very gorgeous, wonderful person in Christ. And that's what God has done for you. That's what he's done for every believer. You are not that ugly little girl being kept slave by the stepmother and by the stepsisters. And start to keep believing it. You are who you are in Christ. And all we want to do is just turn the light on. Just turn the light on. That's not who you are. Turn the light on who you really are. And the more that you will allow the Spirit to break down these fortresses by turning on the light, let me show you who you really are. You're who you are in Christ. You know what's going to happen? Stress will start dwindling away. Depression, anxiety, controlled by other people. Doesn't mean you don't care about people. Doesn't mean you won't love people. Just means they no longer control you. They're no longer going to keep you stressed out because you now see who you are in Jesus Christ. And that's who you're going to start living and being. And that's what we want to get in the Christian life. Let's close in a word of prayer. Wow. Can it be that simple? Can the depression and the distress as controls in your lives, as you feel so inadequate, keeps me down, crushes my soul. Is it possible that those fortresses can be defeated so simply by just trusting you? Yes, because that's the kind of God you are. It didn't take a long time for Job to see the truth. It just took him a long time to get to where he would open his eyes to see it. Father, I pray that men, women, teenagers, children might get a hold of these tapes in some way or another. It's your Spirit will make these things come alive. Now, wherever they are, they'll start believing what you say about them, not what others say. They'll stop having the standards of the world, of their money, their achievements, their beauty, their control, their power, and who they are, but simply who they are in Christ. Pray this in Father in Christ's name. Amen.